someone's basement in New Jersey. It's Rock Under Fire.
And we are at two again.
Yeah. It always seems that
two
we're...
two people.
We can't get the three of us in the same room.
You know, it's just like at the trio is just going to be like once every four episodes. I guess that's why it's just known as the trio now. It was one time it was our cast, and now it's just the trio whenever the trio appears.
It's a treat when you have the four of us.
Sometimes we have four, sometimes we have three, sometimes we have two. There was once we had one, you know. Yeah.
And so then there was one. Man, so obviously... You know, I don't even want to do a what's going on. You know, I did have one in mind, and I can't remember it. It slipped my mind.
Yeah.
But obviously, the big news is Mr. Tom Petty.
And it sucks because we're late to this. We're about a week and a half late to this. Well, is it a week and a half?
Yeah.
It's a week now, right?
About a week. Yeah, I think it's a week.
That's it. I'm in a time warp or something.
Today's what, Tuesday?
No, it's 2 weeks now.
No.
It was the 2nd, October 2nd.
Yeah, that's right, because you did a blog after. You did a blog, a Miley Cyrus blog, after the Tom Petty blog.
Yeah, you know.
Both were outstanding,
just, you know,
by the way.
What we did was, thanks, that was kind of totally not planned.
No, it forces hits to the website, and I love both of them. The Miley Cyrus one blew me the hell away, man. That was fantastic.
I was doing, you know, I was researching things for our Ticketmaster episode. And, you know, obviously, you know, that little story about the Hannah Montana tickets from 2010 when that guy got busted. I got curious as to Miley's work with the Flaming Lips, because she made that album with the Flaming Lips in 2015, Miley Cyrus and her dead pets. And I just got curious about that, and I started looking that up, and I listened to some of it, and then I kind of went back and just, you know, I ended up in 2004. So from there, it just kind of, the whole thing just kind of snowballed, and, you know, and I'm reading reviews of her new album, and I'm like totally disagreeing with them. So I was like, you know what, I'm just going to start, I just started writing and just vomiting out stuff, and that's just how it, you know, the vomit articles.
Yeah, she's trying hard. You know, my nieces grew up on the whole Hannah Montana and Miley Cyrus thing, and my brother paid a fortune to get them to go see them.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's really trying to calm down and bring the image back to a wholesome, not really even a wholesome, just a legitimate, you know, she's trying to legitimize herself again as a musician in the world.
Yeah.
And like you said, she's trying to find herself.
Yeah.
You know, what kind of musician is she?
Yeah. But anyway, you know, two weeks ago, we lost Tom Petty. 2 weeks ago today, as we're recording this, on October 16th. So I'm not sure, this will either be out tomorrow or it'll be out by Wednesday, depending on how soon I could get it out and get my shit together and do some editing and mix the sound and all that stuff. But yeah, all of the writing, all of the press, all of the tributes have been, you know, we're past it already. So yeah. I was just like, you know, it really sucks that we're not recording.
The way it fell out. It's the way it shook down.
Yeah.
Though.
And
we had
things, you know, somebody very near and dear to us, lost, you know, her dad last week. And, you know, I always say regarding this podcast, family and health comes first. And Tracy is family.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And it wasn't even a debate. It wasn't even a question. So, you know, we pushed back. We did some rescheduling last week. This episode was not supposed to happen. And, you know, it's just the way it happened. But Tom Petty, man, I mean, I figured, you know, let's just talk about Tom Petty a little
Absolutely.
Bit. And, you know, not make this a really big episode and push it towards, you know, the capacity that we usually do.
You know, you look at him and you're like, man, this guy was a big rock star and wrote some fucking killer songs. And, you know, it's just some three chord gems it's just ear candy. You could put on a Tom Petty record and be like, you know, this is good, man. You just cruise around to it, you know, okay. Free Fallin' might be a little bit weak, but it was a huge hit for the guy.
I think it's just a fucking brilliant pop song. You know, it's and when I say that Tom Petty, he was his best as a singles artist.
Mm.
That's like nothing. That's like, I'm not, you know what I mean? It's just like no offense to Tom Petty, because when I say all singles artists, you know, you think Madonna, you think like people that never really made great albums. You know, like I don't know. I don't even want to get into that conversation, but you know what I mean, right?
I do. I
think, you know, I always say, like, Madonna up to Ray of Light was a great singles artist, and she never really made great albums until 15 years into her career, Ray of Light.
Outside of her solo record. I mean, her solo record was kind of... But that was written by everybody and her brother.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, Tom Petty, you know, Damn the Torpedoes was great, undeniably great.
Oh,
Full
yeah.
Moon Fever was arguably his masterpiece, although I personally prefer Damn the Torpedoes.
So do I.
And some people might like Hard Promises, and some people might say Wildflowers. I know some people that say, like, Wildflowers was his best album. But... he's not really widely regarded as an album artist where, you know, he's known for masterpieces. You know, mm-hmm. it's not like up in that, those upper echelon of, like, you know, like...
The Beatles and...
artists like...
McCartney's
like,
still writing albums.
Like Dylan, album masterpieces. He crafted great pop songs, man. The songs that when you heard the first time, it was so familiar.
Yeah.
And then by the second or third listen, you knew it by heart. That's how instantly catchy Tom Petty songs were, man. He was just the Heartbreakers was like one of the great.
He did for Stevie Nicks.
Yeah. You know, Bob Dylan said it best. And this was in the 80s, but, you know, the Heartbreakers are the last great American band. This shows you how long it's been people have perceived rock and roll to be going downhill.
Wow.
That he called Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers the last great American band at around 1986. So,
you know, I know I preach about it all the time, but the Defiant Ones, you know, it touched on him because
I finally saw that.
Oh, you did? Okay. So, I mean, when they're interviewing Tom, he's like, I don't want a house. I want my song.
I don't want a hit.
Yeah.
I don't want a house.
Oh, don't worry about it. This song's going to buy you a house. He's like, I don't want a house. And, you know, and he even said it in the documentary that his album sales suffered from giving that song to Stevie Nicks. And, you know, and hey, give credit to Jimmy Iovine. He kind of just stole it from Petty and then said, Stevie, sing this. And, you know, his response, the rest is history, you know, because he did get Filthy Rich on it. And she's arguably the shadow member of the Heartbreakers now, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't remember if that song was on, like, you know, Stop Dragging My Heart Around, obviously, is what we're talking about.
Yes, yes.
Let me get into Google here, because I didn't bring any Tom Petty records with me. But I'm trying to figure out Hard Promises. Okay, Google. That was the album that he released in 1981, and that was also the same year as Stop Dragging My Heart. I don't remember if it was on Hard Promises or Belladonna. Do you remember?
I thought it was Stevie's record. Belladonna, I think it's on.
Because
his album was released
right
around the same time that single was released for her or something, and his album sales suffered from that being such a huge hit.
Right.
And, you know, wrote it.
Yeah. So also Leather and Lace was on that album. Mm-hmm. Outside the Rain. Outside the Rain wasn't a duet.
Leather and Lace was another one with Henley. You know, they were all palling around back then and getting great musicians to help her break away from Fleetwood Mac, more or less, you know.
Right.
But I don't want to get too much into that. I mean, you know, we want to stick to to Tom and, you know, and then you also got to throw in there that, you know, he's worked with rock royalty, the George Harrison, Roy Orbison. You know, that whole Traveling Wilburys thing was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
The only real young artist, you know, second generation or third, even was I guess second. Yeah, he's definitely a baby boomer. But he was like 10, 15 years younger than these other guys.
All of those guys, yeah.
The only ones that would, like, you know, had that credibility, had that street cred in rock and roll to hang with these guys.
Yeah, and
these
fit
guys
right in.
Looked for him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They
he
saw
didn't
him
come
out.
Knocking on their
That's
door.
Right.
They knocked on. They found Tom Petty,
yeah,
man. They
saw
knocked
him
on
out.
His door.
Absolutely.
George Harrison loved them. Bob Dylan loved them. To get Bob Dylan's approval, man, is very, very rare.
To get Dylan to work on that record alone was probably rare. Yeah. I mean, you know, showing up as a guest or something like that, I see. But to have a full out, basically a full blown band.
Yeah.
Nobody expected that. Nobody expected it. I mean, it was going to be great to the rock, you know, to us.
Yeah.
But who knew it was going to be as big as it was? You know what I mean?
Yeah. When speaking of Hard Promises, when that came out, you know, and again to this day, I don't know what's on that album. You know, again, Tom Petty to me was a singles artist. I did have his you know, I had Hard Promises. I inherited my very first car, a 79 Chrysler LeBaron. I inherited a box of 8-track tapes with my car, and one of those was Hard Promises and Damn the Torpedoes. But I was 17, 18 years old at the time, but Damn the Torpedoes, I remember being 9 years old. And going back to our very first episode when we were talking about being raised on rock and roll and FM radio and our dads, you know, what they kind of raised us on. I always remember having Damn the Torpedoes on cassette. And my dad had this big high-tech Kenwood cassette deck in 1979. 1979, it was huge technology at the time.
The Twin Towers of radio
systems. It cost like $400, which is like maybe $1,000 today. Yeah. But that was my first personal experience with Tom Petty, going back to 9 years old. And as I said to Tracy the other day, Tom Petty was always there. For the same reasons that when I said the stick, of why I took Tom Petty a lot harder than David Bowie. And when I said that the stick was like, what? Anything from Bowie. Bowie is legendary. We know this. I don't even have to talk about David Bowie, man. He's fucking David Bowie, man. But I did not get into Bowie until like my early 20s, like late teens, early 20s, before I went back. Like I knew Ziggy Stardust and I knew Let's Dance, right? But going back into his whole catalog and going album by album from 68, 69, all the way through the 80s and just going through that important period of the 70s, right? Where he was easily one of the two or three best artists of the decade. That didn't happen until my 20s. So,
and Tom was always there. Petty was always there.
Tom Petty was always there in my life, man. There's no time in my life after 8 or 9 years old where Tom Petty's not there.
That's the hot chocolate with the marshmallows and you're sitting on the couch getting ready to watch the fucking Wizard of Oz or something. That's a comfort. Yeah, I get you.
You know, acknowledging his first two albums. I mean, I got into Tom Petty at Damn the Torpedoes. I'm 9 years old. So Damn the Torpedoes, like third or fourth grade. Hard Promises. That's 6th grade. Long After Dark, that's middle school. Southern Accents, that's the beginning of high school. You know, it's Live Aid and just being a teenager and getting into metal and still enjoying Tom Petty, man. That's another thing. He was like this. He wasn't even a crossover artist, man. The artists of other genres just loved him, too. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know many metalheads that would say Tom Petty sucks because, you know, he can't play his guitar as fast as fucking Kerry King or something. You know?
Hell, even that knucklehead Axl Rose jammed with them at the MTV Video Music Awards 1 year.
He's just one of those few artists that were just completely universal, man. That country artists love him. Even rappers, you know, there was like one or two rappers that said a few some kind words about Tom.
He, you know, and what you said, going back to what you said about being a great singles artist. I mean, that greatest hits record that he put out, what was that, in the 90s, I guess? Last Dance with Mary Jane is an enormous hit on that record.
And that became a hit. That was released as a new song.
As a song, throw into a greatest hits album.
What normally happens when you release a greatest hits album with a new song? Nobody gives a shit about the new song. It just kind of falls away. Oh, remember that? Nah, that exploded with the rest of the album. It became just as big as every other hit on it.
I can give you two. Van Halen put out that greatest hits album with David Lee Roth. One was Me Wise Magic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Me Wise Magic. And there was another one with Dave on it. I can't even remember the fucking name of it right now.
Yeah.
But it was just...
You know what I was... All right, so we had some technical difficulties here, and we got wiped out. Our entire thing got wiped out, but luckily we were able to recover some of it. I don't even know where we left off.
I know we were talking about the greatest hits and Me Wise Magic and David Lee Roth.
That's where the recording got cut off, but I don't remember how far into the thing that we lost it.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. But anyway, I just kind of wanted to do this just as a Tom Petty, little Tom Petty tribute and remembering Tom Petty. What else, man? Did you ever get to see him, man? I only got to see him.
I did not.
I got to see him with Bob Dylan. He opened for Bob Dylan.
Wow.
And the only other time was at the Bob Dylan 30th anniversary concert
right.
in 1992. So I really only got to see him do two songs then.
Mm-hmm.
And then it took me like another, I guess, 10 years before I saw him open for Bob. But I'll tell you what, the very last time I saw Bob Dylan live was 2003. And believe it or not, I've refused to go see Bob Dylan live since then. I love Bob as an artist. I will buy his new music if he puts anything else out, but he's just finished as a live performer, and he was for a very long time.
Yeah, I never got to see Petty.
But, I mean, Petty that. Just blew him off, blew the whole.
Yeah.
It was just,
you knew every song that the guy was doing. Yeah. It's not like you didn't, you know what I mean? You knew everything the guy was going to play. You know, that's when I went to see ZZ Top with Kid Rock. Mm-hmm. They blew him off the stage. You know what I mean? At least in my opinion, everybody there was to see Kid Rock.
Right.
I had never seen ZZ Top and was just fucking floored by how good these guys were live, you know?
Mm-hmm. I remember, I'll never forget it. There was that night, always stuck with me, the song that he did called Melinda, and he introduced it as like a, you know, unreleased rarity or something like that. I don't know where it came from or what it is. I guess there's Tom Petty freaks out there that know his catalog much better than I do. But I always remember this song that, I don't know, I should look it up now because I always wondered about it. And, you know, like YouTube right at our fingertips.
Yeah.
You know those things that just kind of you forget about? Like, holy shit, like, why didn't I just YouTube it? That's one of those. That's one of those things. This song called Melinda that Tom Petty did in 2003. And I keep fucking closing this thing off, but it keeps fucking popping up again. Yeah, man. Technical difficulties. So, I don't know. Is that, you think that's an omen or what? Do you have anything else you want to talk about with Tom Petty, regarding Tom Petty?
No,
this will be like our quickest episode ever.
The quick one, huh?
The quick one.
I mean, you know, you got to look, you know, what Bob's saying, the last greatest American artist. I mean, who right now is growing up saying, hey, Tom Petty is my influence. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers is my influence. You know, and that's Jacob Dylan. Jacob Dylan, yeah. The Wallflowers, right?
He's the one that inducted him into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I've been watching a lot of... You could hear Tom Petty in the Wallflowers. You could hear Tom Petty in Wilco.
Yes.
Wilco, man.
It's a good one.
Jeff Tweedy. Listen to the first Wilco album. It's called AM. I Must Be High, Passenger Side, songs like that. Come straight out of Tom Petty. What else? Lucinda Williams. Mm. You could talk all night about Tom Petty. But this is kind of, we're actually waiting for Stick, and we're actually recording a few episodes tonight. Guess we'll reveal how things work here in the Rock Under Fire studios. But we've been good, man. We haven't missed an episode all year. So it's been like we've been consistent, and I can't complain, man.
And you know? Twitter, man. We're getting some new followers on Twitter. You know, they're straggling along, and we want to thank all you guys.
Yeah,
I'm personally. At first, I had an auto response thing, and it got annoying. It just looked too phony. And on top of that, the program that was doing it added it at the end of the tweet. And I said, fuck that.
Does it message people saying, thank you for subscribing?
Yeah, but it actually tweets it rather than DM it.
Yeah.
But I personally, whenever I see a new follower, I personally go and I say, hey, at so-and-so, thanks a lot for following. And they're all different. Some of them will say, check out our website for past and future episodes, blah, blah, blah. But I think it's a little more personal. It's a definite thank you. And most of the people respond to those tweets.
Yeah. Well, we want to welcome any new subscribers, any new listeners that have come to us by way of iTunes or YouTube. I noticed, you know, just going through our stats a lot, we have a lot more people listening on iTunes than YouTube. YouTube is just kind of frozen with our personal friends that listen on Facebook.
Well, and they're both worldwide, but I think iTunes is just so much more popular.
Yeah. So with that, we're gonna close things out as our, you know, the next show is kind of walking in now, so we'll let it go with that. And peace out.
Later.
Later.
What up, man?
I got on air.
Bad news, but only if you're out of me. Bad news, but only if you wanna be. You can lose, but I know how you love to win. Bad news keeps pouring on me. Bad news keeps pouring on me.